This podcast is presented by Steak Sauce Media. Grab a joint, drop the veil, and cruise the multiverse with the Chronic Gals.
Let me tell you a little something about the Chronic Gals. Just two best buds and the very best pals. Talking about cannabis, that good, that tree. So grab a joint and just fuck with me. Hey!
Everybody, welcome back to Chronic Gals Podcast. I'm Ashleen.
And I'm Riley.
And we are here with a very special crossover episode today with our friend Jennifer Way from the Self Consciousness Podcast. We have her back. We're back on her show. We're back on each other's show.
I don't think she's ever been on our show.
Because we're crossing. Oh, you're right.
We've only been on her show.
You're right.
This is her first time on our show.
Whoa!
So welcome, Jennifer. Welcome, Way, Jennifer. To the Chronic Gals. You know us. Welcome everybody to Jennifer Way.
It's going to be so fun. It was really fun.
It really was. We just jumped in and we're just going to jump in now.
Yeah. Ready?
Jump!
Hi. Oh, wait, look.
Yay! Yeah. So cute!
They're so pretty. I'm like, wow. No. Even my cats were excited to see them. They were like, this is a new smell.
That's an honor.
Hi, guys. Cuties. Welcome back to our crossover episode.
Yay!
So crossover.
So excited to see that.
Crossover.
Happy May. Isn't it Beltane today?
What? Oh.
It's May 1st today, the day that we're recording, and which I think is Beltane. I'm not a witch, so I'm not familiar with all of the holidays and stuff, but I do know that it is coming up if it's not. I'm pretty sure it's today.
I am going to internet it. I'm going to Google-fy it. It is, today, beginning of summer. That's fast.
Which summer? I mean, which
Gaelic May.
Not which summer.
Which summer? It is Beltane is the Gaelic May Day festival. It is held on 1st of May, or about halfway between the spring equinox and summer solstice. Historically, it was widely observed throughout Ireland, Scotland, and Outlander. Just kidding. It doesn't say that.
I was like, yes.
By the way, and I know you guys haven't watched the current season. I watched the finale today. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh my gosh. I watched like the first, I don't know, six maybe episodes.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And I got to the point where it was like, what? And then I had caught up and I was like, okay, I need to like wait and save the rest because I can't do cliffhangers. So I have, I'm glad that the season finale happened so I can catch up because
you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Okay, good.
It's not saying like there's a cliffhanger. Like, of course there's a cliffhanger.
Right, of course.
But yeah, I was like not happy about the cliffhanger. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen any of it yet. But I'm like, now that the finale happened, I'm like, okay.
Now I can get into it now.
It's out there, it's in the ether. So when it's time for it to be like drawn down into your soul,
yeah, be the totally.
Time.
Do you have Gaelic ancestry with your beautiful red curls? No,
I have, I mean, so my father is from Morocco and my mother's family is from Russia, but it was Ukraine when they were from Kyiv, so my mother's side had red hair and then my dad's side was like they were, you know, like dark haired, but his grandmother had blonde hair and like blue eyes. So you know, like maybe Viking stuff.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we are half Irish or half. I don't know.
That's European. Right.
We have Irish mm-hmm. blood in us. So I'm like, yeah, May Day, Beltane.
Have you been? Have you visited?
No, it's on the list for sure.
After watching Scotland, after watching Outlander, I was like, my soul needs to go to Scotland. Right. And just like,
can I come?
Yes.
Let's all go.
I want to go.
We'll bring our mom. Well, she wants to go too. I know that for sure.
Oh yeah. You have to do that sort of like pilgrimage.
Yeah.
Well, we made it to the Philippines. Mm-hmm. Our dad is from the Philippines.
Yeah, that's right.
So we made it there like a decade ago now.
Oh, it's been a while.
And which was amazing. We got to see the house where our grandma grew up. We got to see the village where our Lolo grew up. And yeah, it was very cool.
Do you have cousins and stuff there?
Yeah, we do. We still have them. They still own the same properties too. It's all like familial, you know, land.
You got to go back then.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Our family's actually really involved in the Philippines. Our cousins founded this company, a coffee company out of San Diego called Mostra Coffee, where they get their coffee beans. They work with farmers in the Philippines to get their coffee. Then they bring it, you know, to San Diego and roast it. But it's really cool to have like all of these ties back to that land. And
And
continue to support it.
Yeah. You obviously come from a family of entrepreneurs.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. That's so our great, our mom's father, dad, he did like when he was out of the Navy, he had little shops, like a silk screen shop and like little tchotchke shop. Mm-hmm. And he was a teacher and did a bunch of like art stuff. And and then our Lolo, our grandfather was a dentist out of the Navy and like, also did a bunch of other stuff. So yeah, we're entrepreneurial, ancestrally linked.
And to like circle it all back, we found a family document from the Philippines that showed that our family used to grow hemp. And they were like very prolific hemp growers in the 1800s. It was the 19th century. I think it was the 1850s that the letter was written or something like that. But yeah, so that was a really fun thing to find. Yeah.
Holy shit. Did you find like a name, like was there a name associated with, I'm like, okay, so when you start your cafe and when you do that, like you have to honor that. You don't have to do anything, but like, you know, like somehow that document, you know.
I would love that.
I don't remember. I know that there are names and stuff on it. It's like I don't know if it's a land deed or some sort of business document. So there's got to be info on there, but
I love old documents. It's weird.
I know, it's so interesting. It's just like the way people wrote. Yeah. You know, it was just so pretty and
or like typed
/illegible.
Yeah,
I know.
Like, it's just hard to read cursive.
So like,
he's
up on the flowery. Like, let's just communicate.
Or it gets really scratchy and you just have like barely little indentations for letters and you're like,
you know, I don't know what that's in a way that's like an entire area of our culture and history that has just completely disappeared, like penmanship.
Totally.
This is like, God. You'd be embarrassed maybe for not having like good penmanship back in the day, because there was a, you know, that was the technology.
Well, it's almost become like an art form now.
You know, like calligraphy.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll see TikToks or reels or whatever of people just writing names or writing words beautiful ink. You know, I'm that person that sits there and watches and I'm like, look at the sparkles.
This is another reason why I can't be on TikTok. I've never been on TikTok. I know it. Yeah, it's going to be a bad idea.
If you can set boundaries around it, it can be very fun and like informational, but you can also like eat your soul.
Mm-hmm.
But
I did a little experiment.
The duality of it all.
Yeah. Oh God. I know. Can you handle both the vortex spinning out and a vortex spinning in? Like I kind of stopped myself and I was like, oh, let me be a good consumer and look at my the apps that I'm spending the most time on. And I was like, okay, the apps that I'm spending the most time on are the ones I have timers on. Like, I literally just bust through the timer. I was like, interesting. Not working. So I'm like, I'm like so scientific about it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to just observe myself. I'm going to set a timer on my phone for 1 minute. And I want to see how influenced I get or what I do. Like, let me track kind of what my eyes like dart to. So I sort of did it. And I first thing I did was go to CNN, long enough to kind of catch a story or whatever. And also noticing that I'm feeling nervous because I'm like, I only have a minute. And then I was like, okay. And then I went right to Instagram, which is one of the ones that I have a timer on that I totally just, and I saw a movie trailer that I had seen 4 times already, but this time around it felt different. And it was like, and then I lost consciousness somewhere around 40 seconds in, where I was like zombified. And I was like, okay, turns out 1 minute is really long. And there's so much information coming at you that this isn't normal. I say this all the time, but I was like, wow. So I took the timers off because I was like, obviously these are doing no fucking good. So,
well, it's crazy. They're training us to be attention deficient. Mm-hmm. You know, it's even with the TikToks and the videos that need to be 7 seconds long or whatever. Yeah. And you just scroll, especially when you get tired of what somebody's saying, if it's a long video, then you just scroll by that. And yeah, it's really just reinforcing
short
attention spans. Yeah, I find that I can't read a book. I have to just take a book a page at a time, or I read the same thing over and over before I'm actually comprehending.
Yeah. And I'm that anyway. So I don't need any more help just not having that focus.
Right. Exactly.
I bypass all my timers too. I'm like, you know what? Whatever.
Yeah.
Timer now, timer later. I know. Whatever. Who cares?
Or you challenge yourself. You're like, I can do 1 minute. And then you get disappointed in yourself when you just go right to extend to 15 minutes. You know, you're like,
yeah, exactly.
Just extending this shame spiral.
What we've been doing is, so my partner and I go out to the car to smoke our weed. And during that time is our TikTok time. So we'll together scroll TikTok and laugh and watch the stupid shit and spend that time together, where we would be also spending time together. But we're like, okay, we're just going to be sitting, being mindless anyway. Let's just scroll TikTok and laugh at the same videos and have a fun.
And you're doing it together. Exactly. You're doing it in relationship. I feel like it's
more,
sometimes if my kids are on a website and I'm worrying that they're just on a screen too long, when I have the energy, I'm hey guys, what are you watching? Let's watch it together. So it's interactive a little.
Let's have a conversation about it.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
Healthy media uses. Well, yeah, I wanted you guys to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you've been into lately.
Oh God.
Ashlyn's into weirder stuff than I am.
Why don't you start?
I was actually thinking on the way over here, I was like, the 3-hour time difference is so vast, because my experience of this moment in time is just waking up. I made coffee. I made a breakfast sandwich. I'm driving. This is my first activity. And then thinking about what you're doing on the East Coast at 1 o'clock, I'm like, she's had a day. She's her day could be over by now, you know? So I was just thinking about wow, what is she doing right now? Having
it's
a clearing.
So true. I know, right? It's so true. You're in a different, I don't even want to say state of mind, because I feel like that's sort of old language. It's not the new world language. And it's kind of you're totally in a different phase state. And yeah, you guys are definitely more fresh. I'm definitely more ready for a nap. Pretty much. Okay. We were talking about montage.
Oh yeah.
No, wait. But
restaurant?
No, I think.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Oh, our trauma soup.
trauma healing soup. Aliens.
Dream school.
Dream school.
I feel flying like rainbows. Something else.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Speaking of montage, I love a fashion montage. It's like automatically my favorite movie. If there's like we need to go shopping and like
try on a bunch of outfits.
Like the do-over, the makeover.
The makeover. Yeah. The makeover. Yeah. Yeah. So my favorite one in particular is in Xanadu when they're making over the old guy whose name I've totally forgotten, Gene Kelly. So they're like redoing his little outfit before the opening of Xanadu. And they have like, there's like a whole like 80s, like,
it's so good. Everybody's on roller skates.
It's so good. And they have like glitter highlight.
Yeah. That's my favorite one.
I love a montage. Like, what does it say about us that we love a montage? Is it that we're like, we're just so impatient? Was this the precursor to low attention span? Like, we just to like can't finish anything. Maybe. I mean, I know, like, I think one of the things that made me feel so nostalgic with that episode where I was talking about like montage and stuff is I got a tape a tape player that's gonna convert to. But it's really a crappy one. But I was like, okay. And then I forgot. I'm like, oh, I know in the beginning of this tape. And it was like, rewind me. And then play. No, rewind me. I was like, how did we deal with this? And I used to like with songs, I'd just be like, oh, I don't like this song. We just bounce around. Yeah, I found some old recordings from high school. I mean, I was the person who always had like a tape recorder and was like, say hi, or had like a video camera because I thought I was like Winona Ryder from Reality Bites. I was like obsessed with that movie.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Montage. I feel like there is a song from like some, like maybe it was one of those animated shows. It was like, America, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to do a montage.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Team America, World's Police.
Yes. There you go.
There we go.
Yeah, I feel like Ashleen and I were after like a mixtape, like a physical mixtape, but we were like the LimeWire Napster generation I mean, I feel like I just downloaded the weirdest shit on LimeWire.
Yeah.
But I can't even imagine going into what my iTunes looked like from like, 15 years ago?
Oh my gosh, I remember being in college and being so proud that I had like 70,000 songs in my iTunes. And then I would like meet these other people in college and be like, well, I have this many gigabytes of songs. And I'm like, okay. Way to make me feel less than. Yeah. Like, I love my music collection. Fuck you.
Wait, do you still have your iTunes? Do you still use iTunes? I know we're doing like product placement.
No.
I don't think so. I don't use iTunes. I think I like have a backup of my music on some external hard drive somewhere.
Okay.
And I think we still have a lot of CDs, or did those get?
No, the CDs in the black case are still alive and well.
So one of those.
This black case?
Yes, that.
Yes, that.
One of those big black CD cases that you shove under the front seat.
And you're like, I saved so much space without the
plastic.
Yeah. And then you have to store the plastic. Yeah, you store the cover.
I still have, I think, in a closet.
Oh, good.
Empty CD jewel cases.
We can marry them. Jewel cases.
Yeah.
Marry it. Wait, so why were you saying she was weird? Did you have, or like more weird, did you have something in like particular that you were
Ashleen just is like the dream schools and the energy fun.
I'm like rainbow lasagna. Nose deep in mysticism and esoteric shit right now. And I guess I have been since 2020, but it's really fun.
What is the most interesting thing that you're kind of discovering nowadays, like right now
I know,
just then
Well, so I've been taking this class called Flying Rainbow Lasagna, and it was put together by this woman who is a walk-in, and her like galactic self like developed this higher dimensional shape called a flying rainbow lasagna in order to traverse the dimensions in order to enter her body. And now she uses it for like manifestation and just kind of, it's like, you know how the world just has like rules, like geometric rules in the universe. It's like that kind of, those kind of set rules where it's just okay. The fractal of it is true no matter where you use it.
Yeah.
So it's that whole class, like she starts by explaining what a chakra is and how the chakras correspond to the rainbow, which the rainbow, you know, color is just frequency. So then you begin to understand energy as frequency, but you can interpret it through color. And then she also shows like the physical shape of how the energy is moving. Mm. So she shows what a chakra shape looks like. And it's not just a spinning wheel. It's this like shape that has four lobes, but you have two chakras. It's very, I cannot go into it quickly and briefly, but it's really cool. It's getting down to like very much the bricks of how energy is building this reality I find myself in. Yeah. And so now I'm beginning to understand the realm in a whole different way and understanding like this is a realm of many realms, and it's tying together all of these different pieces from so many different wisdoms that I've like tripped through for, I don't know, last 15 years or so, or my whole life really.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So yeah, that, I mean, I can, it's been very interesting. I can go in like, deeper. I don't even know like where to go.
I know. That's, yeah. I feel like so much energy stuff is like changing. Have you ever heard of Sandra Walter? She does this stuff. Someone turned me on to her and her stuff. I saw a video. I'd been following her for a little bit. And she's very much into like sort of divine DNA and like activating it and the energy body and just kind of like photonic light and the way our energy bodies are actually changing right now. And one of the things that she said that I thought was interesting, I'm still sort of like, I'm not super sure about what I heard, but she said that we are I don't want to say light body or some kind of energy body is like developing right now. There's like new plasma happening. She's like, and our skin is like turning into this weird thing. And there's new organs that are kind of like, we won't be able to see them yet, but they're starting to like form. And she said, if you've not considered a world without shadow, you should start thinking about it, because she's like, in our lifetimes, you know, with the new Gaia and the new sort of energy, it's like, it's happening so much quicker, like you said, and you won't have to worry about your shadows. Like you won't have to worry about duality, because there really will only be that light body. And sort of, I'm completely butchering what she said, but
I was cool.
Just like, wow. I'm like, I don't know that I'm, she's like, you know, like things are crystallizing, like the plasma starting to crystallize. I mean, I did a thing once when I was like in part of the Qigong that I do, like I build a protection around my heart. Some days I don't see anything and I'm like, okay, you know, like, I'm like, I'm not online really. And then, but one day I saw it and it felt iridescent, I guess, in a way, like almost like, you know, when you see a bubble and you can kind of see the rainbows as it's like shifting and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like that. And then, but then I saw it was starting to form crystal, like a crystalline structure. Cool. And I was like, whoa. I was like, whoa. You know, like,
yeah.
But then when she said that, I was like, maybe this is what's happening. But it was,
I love that.
Yeah, but I never saw it again.
That's
like,
so cool.
I'm gonna pretend that I see it,
but it'll come back. It's there right. Yeah. now you're just trying too hard.
I know.
Yeah, I think it was Jessa Reed that was saying that our skin is getting sparkly, or because like we're getting crystalline or something. And
really?
The day I was listening, I think I was like at the grocery store or whatever,
listening to Jessie Reed, and I was like looking at my skin in the sun. I was like, oh my goodness, am I sparkly? I look like a freaking Ed Cool. Yeah, no, I was like, I don't know. I did not put lotion on. So this is either just like ash or like sparkle, but I'm going to call it sparkle.
Yeah.
But like, look at your skin in the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I really do believe our light bodies are coming on.
Me too. That's like, well, one thing that we were learning in Flying Rainbow Lasagna, so she was explaining how like carbon is a disorganized molecule, but when you apply some pressure to it, it becomes graphite, which is slightly more organized. Mm. We're like graphite right now. When you apply more pressure to the carbon or to the graphite, you end up eventually with diamond, which is the most perfect crystalline structure that we know. I mean, it's unbreakable, right? It's like, it cuts glass and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's like what's happening to us, is we're going through all of this pressure as we're developing this light body and having your diamond body come online.
So cool, I know.
Right?
Diamond body.
Right? So cool.
Jesus.
That's so exciting. We are so cool.
We're so cool.
We are so cool. We're so cool.
You guys, you are so cool. And I'm so excited. And I'm so looking forward to this cafe. I mean, like, I'm already acting like you've got the blueprints and you're already like in development, but like, I just, whatever you guys make, like, I'm just so excited to, yeah, I just want to be there. Like, I
love it.
Come over and yeah.
It's just so funny that you say that also, because this morning I was like making my coffee and I like made extra, so I put it in the carafe and like in my head made a joke like, haha, fresh pot, you know, like there's a fresh pot of coffee. But then I was like, oh, what a cute name for a cafe.
Fresh pot.
Fresh pot.
That's so
fresh pot
cute.
Cafe. So oh, I was like, fuck, I'm gonna put that in my back pocket for my future cafe.
That's so
and then you brought
cute.
It up and so nobody steal that. I will come after you.
It's trademarked already. By the time you hear this, it will be trademarked. Don't even try it. We're protecting it with a witchy spell. And something bad will happen.
Exactly.
You know. Oh my God, be like speaking this bullshit into existence.
Or just give me money.
Just go, yeah. Just, yeah. Just
write
start
me a
the
check
fun.
And I'll be fine.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that's so funny that you brought that up. And I was also listening to your Care Bears episode. So we were really just like in tune this morning.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Yeah. I mean, like, I think I've heard a couple other friends talk about like this sort of next phase, like, okay, we understand, like we're seriously, and I've said this a million times, I feel like in the last week, but like life comes from shit, like literally. Manure, fertilizer. Totally. So it's like we're gonna be springing life, and I feel really good about it. Mm-hmm. You just, even as dark and low as shit can get, because I feel like we are being buoyed in a better field, and that I feel like light workers or grid workers or whoever you want to call it, star seeds in the last 15-20 years have been building, and I feel like we're able to kind of like chill out up here. Not like up here and we're better than everybody, but like, mm-hmm. you know, we kind of like have our arms around it and we're like, oh, this is, I don't have to really go all the way down there anymore because I know
it's Taurus season
well.
For you. Let's just hang out here. We just like went through one hell of an Aries season. We were talking about this before we,
and you're a Taurus,
got on
right?
The call. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My birthday
Happy
is
birthday.
In a couple weeks.
Oh, thank it is you. In a couple weeks.
Yeah. But like Aries season feels really good because sometimes the sun comes out and it's spring and the fire is lit. But then by the end of Aries season, you're fucking exhausted. You beat a bunch of people up. You burnt everything down. Exactly. Like by the end of Aries season, you just want to sit and like chill.
Yeah.
And so Taurus season is here to like surrender and eat all the food and get re-energized for the fucking craziness that is Gemini season, you know? Is that you?
That's me.
Yeah.
I am Gemini. Yeah, I'm so, like a triple. I'm a Gemini sun, Gemini rising, and well, Pisces moon. So I'm all about like, yeah, I'm so like fun. The most sensitive, wobbly, like non-solid. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, like happy.
But yeah, just chill and like, let's just, we have done so much work the last fucking 15 years. Mm-hmm. So yeah, before we get into this next chapter of crazy, because we all know it, 2022 has just begun, you know? So it's like, let's sit on our laurels, you know, let's sit and chill and be in your own little
hang out in the infinity pool of bliss.
Exactly.
can we have one of those in your cafe?
Yes. Oh my god, yes. In the Bali experience.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my god. And the like
there we go.
A labyrinth. I'm like, I love how I'm making all these special requests just for myself. I'm like, so
when I'm here for it.
I'm down for a labyrinth.
A labyrinth is like, and I had a vision once of a labyrinth that was like almost like a white sort of like alabastery type of like huge crystalline temple. And I was like, whoa. And it was right near the ocean. And it was like this section that was kind of like overlooking the ocean, but it was like completely carved out and created. And it was like this flat area where people went to, I guess, like meditate, and there was a labyrinth, but it was like grooves. So the labyrinth was like, your feet would be down here, but there was warm water in the groove. So
oh, we're like, my God.
But just up to your like calf. And it's funny because, Alan, my husband and I went to a spa a couple of years ago, and they had something similar. I was like,
I've been here. That's so cool. But that sounds love that.
Right? Like a labyrinth.
Epsom salt. Mm-hmm. And so exactly. You get your.
And you walk in, and it's like just warm water. And it's not that. It's just so for good. Your feet and maybe up to like your mid calf. And you're just walking the labyrinth in the water.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, don't steal that either. I'm just like, feel it, create it, invite me. I'll come.
Yeah. That sounds so nice. Then you could like. Wow. I'm just like, I feel like with that, we could probably like energize some type of thing, you know, like we in the water could conduct enough energy to be able to like lift off,
bring Atlantis back up.
We're all chanting and walking at the same pace.
Or we build a new Atlantis. I know, right?
Yes.
We build the new Atlantis.
Yes. Yeah.
Gardens and hanging plants and fruit trees and
I'm so here for that.
I know, I'm so here for that. I feel like everything I've been reading in astrology, at least personally, but even like when I read it for everybody, it's all like, take a rest. I'm like, I don't know how much more rest I can have because like I feel like everything is like, just relax. This is the time for your, like, you know, your safety bear or whatever. I mean, like your, I don't even know what I'm saying. Like, this is a time for like your weighted blankets and getting cozy and just relaxing and taking. And I'm like, I don't. Okay. So like, when am I supposed to do? Apparently 2023 is when I'm supposed to wake up and like actually get off my ass and do something. But yeah, I don't know. Have you noticed anything like that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm here for the rest though.
Me too. All I want to do is be horizontal.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, is that because you think like we're molting? Like, is that?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I know just like on a more shallow level, Aries season was really, really busy for me. So I knew that all of that was going to catch up with me and I was going to have to take a break, which is why like we very intentionally closed out the books for the end of April. I mean, it's so 9 days. It's a long time.
Really nice.
But it was great. And I was able to get some stuff done, hang out with the family, but really just like chill.
Yeah.
So it was definitely needed.
So good.
I also feel like collectively we are hyper healing. Like everybody's talking about healing and trauma healing and totally. Like the media.
like the TV shows that we're all watching and we're healing, like Russian Doll is like all about her healing and her remothering and her re-grandmothering, you know, and it's just like all of this stuff. And so like, I haven't found any form of media where I can just zone out, where I don't immediately think, oh fuck, this was a life that somebody lived that they're healing through art and I'm viewing this and I'm healing through this. So it's like, my psyche is so tired of swimming in the soup, but it's like, we got to swim in the soup to heal the fucking soup. But that's why I'm like, you know, everything out here is like doing a lot. And so if this, my inner self can just like sit down, which is really, really hard, then I can, it'll be okay.
You were just doing your, what's it called?
My little Taurus field.
I know. Cause that's, and that's really what's so important right now is like strengthening that field and, and just like, you know, rooting down in and yeah, but you're right. It's just, it's like this whole weird crusty world out there. Like it's so crusty.
And it's all like the crust is falling and it's falling in huge chunks too. And it's just
like a sunburn that you're like peeling off.
Exactly. And so it's like the new crystalline skin underneath has to come, but we also have to like slough off a lot of the biggest organ on our body, you know? So it's loofah like
that shit.
And
so Taurus season is the balm.
Yes.
It's the fancy lotion that you spend $100 an ounce on because you just want to feel that way, and sometimes your like diamond skin deserves it, you know.
I love it. Oh my god,
I love Taurus season.
I just bought this is so random, but like I saw this, I think it was on HBO, like I Feel Pretty or something about being pretty, and it's about how there's all these toxic chemicals and like asbestos and makeup and talc. So of course I like went to my daughter's like makeup set and I was like, by the way, I like rated her makeup today. I was like, I need to like do this stuff. I need something for my eyes. I'm like, ooh, I have a 13-year-old daughter. I'm just gonna go like raid her like medicine cabinet. And she totally had great products. I was like,
but you watch the beauty YouTubers.
Yeah.
No, she's not allowed. Oh like, yeah. No, my kids are like, I don't even want Instagram now because I've like I have forbidden it. I'm a psycho when it comes to that stuff, but she, so all of her eyeshadow and stuff, like, of course had like talc in it. So I went and found like a recommended brand and this particular brand, and I guess, I don't know what the brand is. No one's paying me. I don't need to like go into it and like sell it, but it has like rose quartz in it. Like it has like ground up like rose quartz in it. I was like,
cool. That's cute. Fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's cute. I don't know if that stuff's like bullshit or, I mean, I always think it's usually bullshit somewhat, but it's probably cute. And as long as it's not asbestos, you know, so.
Well, and it's cool that you're doing the research to find a brand that you love, that you love to support. And then you can teach your daughter that, oh, maybe we can like vote with our money in other ways and choose things that like, if we want to see these products in the market, let's support them by buying them, you know, instead of buying the talc filled, you know.
It's whatever. And I realized it's not asbestos, it's I want to say arsenic or something.
I think I've seen that.
Sorry everybody, don't follow me for this kind of like news. I'm not a news source. Like, just research
disclaimer thing. We're not news sources.
Not news source, just Googleify it. But so what do you guys think about this whole like Elon Musk Twitter thing? I almost don't want to give it any like air because I'm like, oh, come on, man.
The only thing I'll say, which I haven't read literally anything about it, other than the $43 billion or whatever. The only thing I will say is that he should have saved homelessness.
Yep. So were you the someone, I did see someone post something that like, you know, everyone was like, why, you know, you could solve world hunger. And he's like, send me a breakdown. I don't know if you guys were the ones, it was someone mentioned it and they were like,
I saw this too.
And they sent him a breakdown.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And he did not respond.
Do it.
He didn't do it. He went and bought Twitter.
Robot.
Right.
That's what he did. He just went.
But yeah. You know, the crazy thing about his kind of wealth is that he can do both. Like, why isn't he doing both?
Yeah.
If you want to, like, do your whatever midlife crisis Twitter buy, you could also, like, save homelessness or, like, pay for student loans. Put new electricity, underground electricity in the entire country. You know, like, my partner told me this the other day. America is one of the only countries in the entire world with above ground power lines. Did you know that? Did you know that in Europe, it's like all underground? In Asia, like, it's all underground.
Why?
So ours is all above ground, where during random freak April blizzards, the trees can fall and take down power lines. You know, like,
I know.
It's so stupid.
But we let's pull ourselves up by our bootstraps so we can
buy Twitter.
Yeah, but just make us the people who have no power, no like actual like power.
Yeah,
pay for everything while this fucking fucktard is, excuse my language,
don't.
Buying fucking Twitter. Like, I give like a woman $43 billion and see what happens.
Let's see what happens. Yeah. Fuck, man. Yeah, like Jeff Bezos' wife, how like she took that money and was like, yeah, I'm donating this to like universities and colleges that need it, that actually will. Oh, it pains me to think about that kind of thing. And, you know, like even just the idea of like higher education and the fact that in this country, it's such a monetary thing. And I think that that's spreading around. I know that you used to be able to go to college for, you didn't have to pay for any of this stuff, like in Europe or France, but it's like, now it's different. Everything is like,
I feel like when I was in college, I had the revelation of if everyone in the 1% or whatever just sponsored like 10 kids, we would have like no student loan debt.
Right.
And if fucking
there's just no
Joe Biden wants to send more billions of dollars to whatever the fuck's going on elsewhere.
Business interests over people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What? Thanks, guy. Thanks for helping your people out.
Right.
It's silly.
I think it's funny because I recorded this video right before COVID in February. Not a very good psychic. It wasn't about that. I was like, this is the most important issue facing the world today. Like, that's like literally the name of the video. But it was about, but I'm leaving it because I'm like, that's pretty funny.
I love it.
You know,
I like that.
But the thing is, it's like, I've been thinking about that video a lot lately. And it's basically the biggest problem facing humanity was like idolatry. You know, this idea that a leader is going to save us, this idea that like a celebrity is worth putting our focus on, like this idea that the CEO or.
Can I just say that absolutely ties in with what happened with COVID?
I was
idolatry. Seeing seeing COVID as its own entity to fear. Looking up to the scientists who were fed misinformation so that they weren't even, they were at a disadvantage and couldn't even, you know, advise their patients correctly. Like nobody talked about how to, like all of the idolatry that was exposed during this whole thing. And then even like once the first wave was over and then the Black Lives Matter things were coming out, all of like the Antifa stuff and see it, like, everybody.
So you were right.
You're right. It is the most important thing. Like what? That is like the zoomed out version.
It was such a zoomed out version of it. Yeah.
You know how like they'll put things on the news to distract from something else that's actually going on.
Yep.
I mean, it's that kind of a situation.
Yeah.
You know. Did you guys know that the Ghislaine trial is going on, but everybody's talking about the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp
the
trial?
What trial is going on?
It's happening
Maxwell
right now.
Is happening.
Oh yeah.
Currently, yeah.
And why isn't that public?
Right, because like, everybody's paying attention to what Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's toxic ass relationship.
So I know way more about their relationship than I ever wanted to know, and I didn't even watch very much of it. I saw like one or two clips, and I'm like, first my first thought is. Honestly, is like
these poor people.
Yeah.
They, you know, celebrities, whatever, but it's like, they don't deserve, like any other human being who had to go through that experience. It's like, okay, they're rich and they don't ever have to like worry about money or anything like that, but they're always worrying about not being on top. And that makes it almost even worse. And I also believe that when you're a celebrity or when you're that high profile, you, especially if you're a sensitive person, and a lot of them are, if you're an actress or an actor, you are putting, you're channeling. I mean, mm-hmm. like we all know that. So it's like, you're obviously very sensitive. You can feel the sort of courting that people are just like getting it, like just, you know, sucking you dry. And it's, yeah. it's like, no wonder there's so much, so many drugs. And this is also why I always say yes. like kids should not be in movies or TV. Kids should not be acting. They shouldn't be performing on a huge scale like that. It is so bad for kids. And I think I may have, I don't know where I talked about this, but it's like, they're like on that energetic level, we're consuming their energy as well. And mm-hmm. these are the same people consuming their energy that are like, you know, these are Satanists who are sacrificing mm-hmm. our children. So it's mm-hmm. like,
I mean, a lot of movies are, they're putting children in compromising situations. I don't remember what the movie is called, but I remember specifically when this Nicole Kidman movie came out in like, I don't know, probably around 2000-ish, where she was in a bathtub naked with a young boy who was like 8. And I think the storyline of the movie was that the boy said that he was her husband, like reincarnated into the boy or something yeah. like that. Yeah. And there's like all of this hullabaloo about Nicole Kidman naked in a tub with a boy.
That's so weird.
And I mean, it honestly just got worse from there. I mean, like yeah. the Netflix, they had that whole scandal Cutie. About the Cuties documentaries docuseries or whatever but and then like the modeling industry and how toxic that is for young girls and how like that has been so awful
and
like,
why I think there has since the 90s or has or since like the 2010s there's been a sharp like we do not hire underage people anymore within the fashion industry. But I remember I went to this like neighborhood modeling school thing. It was not cool, but anyway, it was fine. It was like a bunch of old models that were telling kids how to model.
It wasn't like a front for like trafficking.
I mean it could have been. I don't know. I did it. I was not my experience.
Okay, good.
But I don't think so. One of the teachers was Siberian and she was tall and gorgeous, but very just like Siberian, you know, so very straightforward. And she was like, never, as underage people, never go to anything without your guardian. Never go anywhere. She was like very much like, if you are underage and doing this, always have your guardian with you, no matter where you go, what you do, make sure they are always watching. Because she didn't tell us any horror stories, but she's like, I've seen things that are not good. So it's like I was like 17, so I was young. And so like seeing that and being like, oh my God. And then hearing all of these crazy stories of like the Me Too movement happened shortly after that experience that I had. So it was just like, oh my God, like what even happens, you know?
People's energy, like their souls are being devoured. Like it sounds so creepy, Satan and like that kind of devil thing, but it's like their energy is being devoured and it's being used for other things. And it's like, that's their life force energy. And
I was watching the Andy Kaufman, Jim Carrey documentary on Netflix, where Jim Carrey did Andy Kaufman in the 90s as Jim Carrey's career was like escalating. And Jim Carrey lost himself to Andy Kaufman and the other guy that he played that I don't remember with. But he like totally lost himself. And he was like inappropriate. He would pick fights on set and was just really ornery and was just like, this is what Andy Kaufman did. And he even admitted that Andy Kaufman came into his body and was like, took over for the
I loved that part of that movie. I was like, duh, everybody, duh.
I know. Like,
I know.
Why is it so hard to believe?
Exactly. Like, it's, yeah. And Jim Carrey is just the perfect example of that too, where he got lost.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I was literally thinking of that example when I was saying that. Because yeah, it's like you're tormented. Mm-hmm. I think you can be very tormented. I mean, like, look at Heath Ledger. Everyone says like certain roles can like torment you or, you know.
Robin Williams, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's. You know, like there's also a side of me that's like, whatever, stop complaining. You get paid to play pretend. Like playing pretend is what you do for a living. Like anyone would love that job. You know, like anyone who was a child who played pretend, like would love that. But
are we not all just playing pretend anyway?
No, is real. I feel like starting a business is playing fucking pretend. God,
yeah. What do you do? I don't know. Let's just Google it.
Yeah.
That's literally the storyline, you know? And so we're all just playing pretend. Higher level anybody. Oh, well, do you know what you're doing? No. Okay, cool. We're just going to figure logically. Yeah. Paper goes in, paper goes out. I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's how you know. Yeah. And that's just how the world works. And so everything, if everything's fake, then we have the opportunity to like get whatever the fuck we want.
We are the man behind the curtain.
Exactly.
Ooh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, are we? We are.
We
are. I'm like, so just like, I'm like, I feel like I'm wearing like an 80s workout outfit. Like this.
It kind of does look like that.
I just need a headband.
Yeah.
Oh wait, let me get one.
physical.
Oh, forget it. Physical. Oh, so stupid. I was like, I want to demonstrate. My husband always has these like headbands when he works out because his hair is like spiky. Yeah. And, like
he also has amazing hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, thank you. I was very used to like people being like, oh my God, your hair. Like since I was a kid and I was like, even as a kid, I'd be like, don't talk to me because it was just, I didn't want people to focus on me. So it was like, it was a little annoying, but I got, of course you get used to things like that. And then when I married him, like everyone would be like, oh my God, I love your hair. And I'd be like, thank you. Oh,
it's not me anymore. That was not me anymore.
It's okay. And my kids have really good hair too. Like, yeah,
the genes are strong.
They're strong. Yeah, I always say they're like redheads underneath, because like in the sun.
That's what my hair color is.
Me too.
Is red underneath.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I love my hair color.
What color hair does your mom have?
Auburn.
Yeah,
like a dark, like a reddy brown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. It's so funny how that works. Like I think people always say that like the redhead gene is like disappearing. And then I read that's totally not true.
Good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not true. It's not like dying out.
That's good. Yeah.
I mean, I think if one of my kids was a partner with someone who had another recessive redheaded gene, you know, it might happen.
Yeah, one of my good friends from college, she is also half Filipino and half white, and she married a white guy. Yeah. Their first son is dark like her, like olive skin, dark hair. Their second son was like white and blonde, and they called him the little white buffalo. And then like their third son is just like the middle of the gradient. Like it's so funny.
I feel like it always happens that way. They're like the third kid is like fully... And it's so weird because I've seen that with a lot of families. And then like, I wonder if there is some kind of, in some organizational dimension of like fate, there's like, okay, the three of us are going to go in. So you're going to take the dark stuff. You're going to be the light one. And I'll be right in the middle. Like, you know, it like,
always right. Seems soul that contracts. Way. I soul mean, contracts. Probably.
Yeah. Think so.
Yeah. I feel like my two kids, it's always meant to be two kids. Although I did feel a third wanting to come in, and I had been told that.
I knew there was a little boy who wanted to come in, and there was just like one day where I thought about it and I was like, I'm sorry, buddy, next lifetime. But like, but like, I think both of my kids look very much half, I hate saying half, like, I think I was telling you this, Ashley, and I was like, I don't like saying half, I like saying both. Because I don't want anyone to feel like they're half anything. It's like, totally. No, you're both, you're taking both worlds, and you are, you know, you're that expression of both, you know, not that, like, no pressure. But like, but they both, I always say, like, my daughter, this, the way I see it, this is so specific and it almost sounds like eugenics in a way. It's like creepy, but like the top part of someone's head, right? Like here, and eyes and nose are usually from one parent. And then the ears and the jaw are from the other parent. So it's like, if you think of it almost like a puzzle, and I've traced that with a lot of people. It's such a random, like, I don't know, like,
I'm thinking about my kids, and I kind of feel like that's true for my kids. Like, I think
that's so true.
Theo looks very much like Adam, and with my eyes.
Yes.
Yep.
And
yes.
Eyes and
Mara is just a carbon copy of you.
Yeah. Mara is kind of a carbon copy of me.
So cute. Yeah.
At Easter, we had like extended family, aunts, Nana, everybody, cousins was like over for our, at our house for Easter. And I overheard our aunt Megan, like, talk to Nana and Mom, and Mara runs by and they're like, she's just like Ashley. She's just like Ashley.
She is. That
means I'm in for a wild ride. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. I know, mother daughter relationship is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're healing all of the thing. You'll be fine.
You're doing so much healing. While she's young, like, right. Baby, it's like you're so far ahead of the game.
that's what I'm like holding on to.
Absolutely.
I'm like, that's just going to create room for different traumas to come forward that I didn't have to deal with mm-hmm. my mom, which is fine, because that means that's what needs to heal. But
yeah,
I mean, that's also movement. That's like mm-hmm. not stagnation. That's all, that's part Absolutely. Of the curse breaking, right?
Absolutely.
New traumas to deal with.
New traumas to deal with.
On and the spiral of healing. Well,
measured trauma, because there's an awareness with it. So it's mm-hmm. like, here's a little taste of like little traumas, you know,
totally.
Just so you can experience it and come back from it and experience it. And like, we're here to help you come back from it in a way.
Yeah.
Totally. Because there's no way to avoid. Cool. And you know, it's like the other thing, it's like you really, I think that's what's so scary as a parent. It's like you can do all the things you know you're supposed to do, get them into the right school, get them into, you know, feed them the right foods. But, you know, you get them into the right school and then there's a little shithead sitting next to them that has like just right. zeroed in their bully focused energy on your child. Or, you know, it's like, So after a while, you're just kind of like, oh, well, fuck it. Like, I'm not going to try, or I'm not going to feel bad about, you know, because there's so much that it is out of your control. And mm-hmm. it's so scary. But like, the only thing you can teach them is just having that sort of like, I don't know,
coping mechanism,
mm-hmm. like flexibility, learning to be able to adapt. And, mm-hmm. you know, on my last podcast, I was talking about this show on Netflix, and I got the name wrong. I called it like On My Own, but it's not called On My Own at all. Old enough.
Yeah.
I'm young now. I know. I'm young now. I know. I was like coming out with all these names. I was like, it's this show called I Am a Toddler and I pick up the fish from my father's boat. And
yeah, I've watched a couple of them. And it's super cute. Oh, is that
the
one cute.
Where the like toddlers are running errands or whatever? Yeah. Okay, I have not watched it's it, but pretty... I did see the. Dude, the poster
so adorable and wild.
Yeah, I like, I don't know if I can watch it, because I'm like, I would never. We have an Asian market that's like right down the road, and it's like maybe a half mile away, and I thought like, if Mara was perceptive enough on our walks around the neighborhood, she could 100% figure out how to walk to the Asian market and like buy herself Pocky or something, you know, like
You should watch. Whoa.
You should yeah. watch. But it freaks me out because it's like on a busy street also, and I don't want to think about
toddlers. Well, the thing about that show is that it's like the toddler goes and does the errand, but they're being watched by like a bunch of cameramen.
Well, yeah.
You
yeah,
know, so yeah. like the per and it's Japan. So like, I don't think the kidnapping rate yeah. or like the fuckery rate in like Japan is as high as it is here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's, I'm like, yeah, it's so weird. So these 2 year olds or whatever, these like 4 year olds.
Yeah.
There was one that was really, really young. I'm like, that was really young. I think the first one was really, really young. I'm like, yeah. wow, that's like 2, 9 months, or I don't remember, not 9 months. It was really young.
Yeah.
I was like, you're okay. If that's,
it was like 11 or 12 or like 11 months or something, or like,
yeah.
Yeah. Or like
super crazy.
Yeah.
But,
you know, I just let my kids start going to the bodega, like literally across the street, because there's literally like people who are either meth heads or crackheads or something who like live on our street, and they like steal mm-hmm. all the packages, but they like harass my daughter. Like it's not like everyone must be horrified. It's okay. like we're all like aware of it. And, but she has to be, and that I'm just kind of like, ugh, we should be going and like living in the country somewhere. But then I'm like, yeah, but that's not safe for her either. You know, like our family, especially in this country, I'm like, yeah, let's be close to like lighting and metropolitan area. And, you know,
when did we move out of the house by the mall? When we,
oh, it was, I was a freshman, so it was 2004.
Okay. But so I remember very much walking to the mall and to Target with mm-hmm. Ashleen when we were, must have been tiny children.
No, we were, I was like 13, 10. I don't know, somewhere like
that. So if you were 10, I was seven.
That's young.
You know, just walking. And then, I mean, from the, and this was like the 90s, like early 2000s. But, and it wasn't a far distance to from our house to the mall. It was farther to Target, but mm-hmm. we would do that all the time. But I'm like, I would never, ever let a 7 year old walk to the mall.
Yeah.
Like that, thinking about it now, I'm like, what the fuck were we? We were not thinking. And mom had probably no idea
that we walked that far.
Yeah.
No, they knew that we went to the mall. They do.
I hope so.
They knew for sure.
Ashleen's like, they knew.
Good. Older sister. I was like, I'm just walking to the mall.
I'm pretty sure we got permission. Like, I don't think we just left.
Well, I feel like it was during the summer when mom was working.
Yeah.
And Evan must have been at daycare. So we were just like at home taking care of ourselves.
Yeah. No, at that point, I was definitely in middle school. I don't think mom would have let us do that before I was in middle school. Which I think, I don't even know how old you are. I think you're like still 11.
That's still 11.
Yeah.
I'm like, I look at 11 year olds now and they're like, bleh! I'm like, no way is that walking to the mall by themselves.
I have an 11 year old who can't ride a bike and a 13 year old who can't ride a bike because I am like the best mom ever. I feel like so horrible about it. And I'm like, and they're kind of like, it's not going to happen at this point. I'm like,
well, it's weird because like when our mom grew up, she would ride her bike all the time, all over San Diego. Yeah. Like they lived in Point Loma near SeaWorld and near the Naval base. And they would like
just ride
to the beach. Like, so I feel like where they,
yeah,
like that wouldn't be that weird to them, I know, letting us go for a walk. But
now
it feels like it's gotten more and more dangerous as we've gotten older. I mean, with the trafficking,
I feel like
especially in our area of the world, like white vans
all over the place, and
we lived off of I-5. Like we could have gotten stolen. So like thinking back on our route and stuff, I'm like, man.
I mean, like, are these people who are committing these crimes? Are they just like more? It's almost like, how did it get to this? Like how come it's like, they're just so brazen to just, I mean, I remember being on the subway in New York and I saw these like two burly men and there was a younger boy with them
and the boy was a different race of from the men, and I was just like, and he looked very disheveled, and you know, like I've seen, like I keep an eye out for it, and I'm like, you know, I don't know, like what would you do, and what if the person's like, this is my grandchild, like you'd want to be mm-hmm. a, I mean, right. not that we care about that shit anymore, like of
well,
course,
but then
I'm not gonna
even
be polite,
you.
But.
You probably have the experience of walking around with your children who look different from you, where people are like, oh, who does she, are those her kids? Is she, you know, so you can understand that, oh, maybe if, you know,
it's not
the race is different or whatever, there might be a different story. And I mean, like our mom experienced that too. She got asked all the time if we were adopted, and she talks
she's the nanny.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
me and your mom can go over getting stories. Yeah.
You guys look alike.
I mean, I'm part of like some you two kind of look alike. I'm part of some Facebook mom groups, and like even in our area, I see weekly there are moms posting about some creepy guys watching her and her kids out with the Walmart or the Target. God. Like it's even at Target, it's not even just at the Walmart anymore. And which if Target's not safe,
Target,
what
they've taken Target.
No. But it's like a real thing where people will watch, and women have been approached, and they've had to watch their back when they're putting their child in their car seat, you know, because they'll see people. It's just like it's very dangerous. Yeah. And it's
I mean, I-5, the big freeway that goes from Canada to New Mexico is like one of the top trafficked places in the world or America or something. Mm-hmm. And so like all through Oregon, all of the rest stops have like, are you safe? Call this number if you need help in like all of the bathrooms.
I love Oregon.
I know. Much better, but it's like, what the fuck?
It's scary. So sad that it has to be a thing.
Yeah.
Like having to explain to your kids that people will steal you and not make them totally scared. I mean, I can't even... So I'm like, my kids are, so my sister and I my parents got divorced when I was like 9. My dad moved down to Virginia and he remarried, and my sister and I would fly down, and we'd fly down alone. And I know that my sister was at least like 13, and, you know, and I had been taught, and my dad lives in Florida now, and we had been talking about it for the last couple of years about me just like putting the kids on a plane and sending them down to my dad. And, so we're doing it this year. And I mean, and I was like, I feel okay this year, but like years before I wasn't ready. So like, I'm a little bit, I'm a lot shitting in my pants, but you like they're unaccompanied, but you can like go
can get,
to
like,
the,
yeah.
Yeah. Like you can go to the gate with them. Thank God. Although, you know, again, like when I go to the gate with my kids, people will be like, are you sure you're the parent? But like, yeah, I mean, but now that my kids are a little older, we don't get it as much. Cause I think they are with the four of us together, like you get it, mm-hmm. but the four of us are rarely together, and I'm going to post a photo of it, but I'll show you. I don't know if I showed you the JCPenney photo shoot.
Oh, I love this.
Did I show this to you guys already?
No.
Why have I zero memory? Well, this was an old one.
Oh my gosh.
And then we went to like recreate it, and everyone was like, oh, no one do this. But it came out. It was really funny. And my son, you'll see, completely refuses to smile. Like,
oh my
the whole time. Look at his face.
Oh my
Zoom in
God.
On that.
You guys are so cute.
It's funny, but yeah, I think Ashley and I did tell you, like I used to get people would accuse me of being like a nanny who like fed squirrels in the park and goddamn nannies, and I'm like all right. Or people are just kind of really dumb, and they come up to you and they're like, are your kids dad, like is their dad Asian? And I'm like, like really, you know, and you're like, it's really weird that you need to
know.
Come up to a stranger in front of their kids who, you know, have you heard of like giving someone a complex? Have you heard about like you know, like, it's just because of your stupid curiosity, because you haven't seen this before. It's like,
oh, I could tell you stories.
Oh,
the most recent I can think of, a couple years ago, we were in San Diego. My dad used to do traditional Filipino dance. There's like a Filipino dance company down there that my Lola, that our Lola's like, we used to be the president of, and was like very involved in. And then like all of our cousins were in it, and it was like a thing. So they were having like a anniversary party or something. Mm-hmm. So we all went down, and well, we didn't all go down. It was my dad, it was me, my partner, and then I think Evan, our little brother, was there. And so we're all walking into this event, and I don't know where my dad was, but my Lola was like telling everybody who we were. And so Lola was like, oh, these are Elton's kids. And he goes, can I see a DNA test?
Lola said that?
No, the guy he was like introducing us to.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? I don't look like you. You need a DNA test? And he was like, yeah, let me see a DNA. It was like a joke, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, guy, don't say shit like that. So that's cringy. So inappropriate. I mean, he's old, and like the generation doesn't know, and I'm not about to educate them, and you know, and it's like, whatever. It was just like, that's not what you say.
Just think about the impact just for a second.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, I'm so glad that we're in a phase of people existing and just being more sensitive to the fact that, like, when you comment people on how they look, it's usually going to be problematic. Like,
yeah.
When you make a comment about someone's looks, like in any way, shape, or form, like, let me comment on something you had nothing to do with. Let me tell you how, let me share what I feel about how you look, you know? Yeah. It's like, so stupid. Yeah, I know.
Let me tell you how you look. You want me to do that? I can do that.
I know. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I am the bigger person.
Yeah.
So I won't.
I'm used to this. I'm like, I'm an old. Yeah. I mean, I think I mentioned this to you, Ashlene, that when my daughter was a baby, I was out at a restaurant and someone asked me where I got her.
Oh.
Or they were telling me like about their friend who had adopted a child from Korea. But they were saying like, oh, she's so cute. And then they were like, my friend adopted a child from Korea. And I was like, why? I didn't even like occur to me. I was like, why is this person telling? Cause it was the beginning, like, right in the beginning. Now I'm used to it at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, funny, what a random fact that she would be telling me this. Or he would be telling me this. And then he was like,
meanwhile, your body is still healing from the trauma that it has went through 9 months.
It was like, it was also around the time of the Jersey Shore, and I wanted to be like, this is the situation. Like freaking tiger stripes on my belly. Like, he was like, then he leaned in and he was like, where did you get her? And I was like, here, bitch.
These titties are for nothing.
I know, right? I know. Like, these aren't falling on the floor for nothing. Let me roll up my boobs, put them in.
You really cannot win as a postpartum mom. You are just a trash heap trying to get through, trying to make sure that two people stay alive, and trying to make sure that your body can even, you can figure out how to make it function correctly. It is tricky.
And being surised by it, like, who knew you needed to buy maxi pads for your bra?
Oh,
like, no one told you this. Like,
right.
It's not in any of the books.
Not in any of the books.
No, and then the whole medical system, they just like give you a baby and shove you out of the wheelchair at the door. Like, there is so such little support.
I'm surprised they don't give you a flyer to like sell your milk. Are you interested in making some money? Like, right? Now that you're a new mom,
seriously,
you know, people will pay good money for your breast.
If you are a hyper producer,
yeah,
I just gave people marketing ideas. They're like,
oh. Yeah, we actually
stand outside of all the birthing clinics.
Yeah, after with my daughter
about becoming a real cow.
Yeah, No, after I had my daughter and I wasn't able to, like, I think I was able to nurse with her, like, I don't know, maybe 3 months or so full time. And then I started to supplement, but I was able to find somebody who I knew from high school who had a child at the same time I had my child, and she was a hyper producer. So I would like, and she would give me bags for free. So we would, good. I would just buy her bags and so she would give good. Me bags of milk. So until my daughter was 6 months old, we did that. Cause I really wanted to get to that 6 month mark
yeah.
when their immune system was a little more developed. So that was kind of the goal.
Yeah.
But yeah, we totally used a hyper producer.
Such a good idea. And I remember that was always promoted. It's like so healthy for them to have that experience of other people's breast milk.
Yeah.
It's like super healthy.
Hmm. Yeah,
I know it doesn't sound like it, and it seems like, but it's actually like this is what people
that's
did.
Probably for thousands. Good. I was yeah. gonna say, yeah, right. like the wet nurses, like
right.
the Roy or whoever would like have a baby, and then the wet nurse would like yeah. breastfeed them or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I supplemented too. It's like you have to. I mean, it's like
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's just so demanding. Like especially
working at the same time, you know, oh, I don't know God. When you went back to work, but that
whole no, thing I was like calling it. I'm like tapping out for a good 2 years. I was like, I'm happy living in a shitty apartment. I'm like, we're never gonna own a house. Fine, like I'll work when I'm like 50. I'll
mm-hmm.
I'll earn it back.
Totally. Yeah. I was lucky with Theo. I had him right at the beginning of the pandemic, so then I just never went back to work.
Yeah.
And I still haven't, I mean, I've been able to do our work instead yeah. of someone else's work, and it's been great.
Yeah.
It's been
great. I mean, I worked in HR, so I had to make sure we had a breast milk room, like mm-hmm. at the office. And I would see like women coming in and just with their machines, like the pump, you know?
Oh God, yep, I know the pump.
And I'm just like, God, men have no idea like what your body is taken over because it needs to be consumed and used for only for care. And it's like, people have no fucking idea what it, yeah. And I feel like moms need to get more loud about it mm-hmm. because it's such an insecure time because mm-hmm. everyone's kind of telling you how to do things. And
well, and it's wild because it's like, you're stuck in the state of, okay, I just need to make sure that my baby is alive, and you know, and when you're in that like survival mode, you can't even sometimes, I can't even sometimes articulate what I need in the moment because I'm just like busy. And then they say, moms, why don't you ask for help? And then the moms ask for help and they're like, okay, here's a Mother's Day. We'll give you a holiday to make you feel like you did great. And it's like, okay, but that's not helping me.
Since I am providing the new workforce, you need to pay me.
Totally.
Like, I mean, the pay leave in, I know that like one of Alan's cousins in Toronto, she had paid leave for like a year or mm-hmm. and her husband did too. Like it was, or
yeah.
I'm probably getting it wrong, but it's like, how do we not have that in this fucking country? I mean, please, I know. Like we just elected, we just came off of electing like Donald Trump. So obviously we have no idea. But
as the new business owner and the new boss, I would like to provide maternity leave to anybody who needs it.
Yeah.
So
with our billions of dollars.
Yeah, with the billions of dollars that I'm going to make with whatever businesses I'm creating.
But there's got to be some kind of strategy where when this happens, you have like two people who can train into it. You really have some, you like pull in support for this one person. Like it's, we're so far.
You have 9 months to prepare.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and to train somebody, you know?
Yeah. And I don't, there's like, you got, yeah.
It's like, they don't want us to leave work because we're having babies, but they are forcing us to have babies now. So like what, but we're not going to help you like take care of this baby. And men have, you know, like a free pass to leave, but the women have to be stuck with everything. And then you get fired because you had a baby. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
yeah,
it's that shit goes. I mean, people think that that's against the law, but I'll tell you something, everybody, if you haven't worked for corporate America before or in a long time, I mean, they have their ways of pushing people out. It's basically psychological warfare on a new mother. And there is a lot of like, wouldn't you be happier? Wouldn't you be happier? There's a lot of that. There's a lot of like coaxing and real bullshit that goes on. It's like if people That's think why that I've people follow the rules. Yeah. And I have to say, I really admire people who stand up and make that choice because you're not succumbing to this. I mean, again, like I know that I succumb to pressure. I mean, I don't regret it. And I'm happy that I had kids, but like, I didn't know that I wanted kids forever. You're like, I was like, I don't know, but it's no one's fucking business, especially like at work and stuff. Like you never talk to someone about that. You just, you don't know what people have been through. You don't know what people are trying for. You don't know what people, it's just like, just don't mention it. Just like the way people look. Yeah. Just don't mention it.
You
like,
just don't need to.
Yeah. Are we like, how long are we? Oh, wow.
Oh, it's 11:21.
Wow.
So easy. We're a long form podcast anyway.
I love the long form. I only started doing shorter form because I was like, I want to put music in it too. And then it takes a lot longer. So I'm like, okay. But
yeah, I like that you put music and things inside of your podcast. I think that's super fun.
Yeah, I want to do that all the time. It was like my dream again, like Winona Ryder. Like,
do it, live your dream.
No, literally, you're Winona Ryder. Ours is Wayne's World.
We're Wayne's World.
We grew up watching Wayne's World, and we like realized very quickly, like, we are now Wayne and Garth.
We're sitting on a couch.
Oh my God, you are Wayne and Garth.
We're Wayne and Garth.
Oh my God,
Wayne Garth.
It's been long decided.
Yeah.
Have drumsticks? Can you get some?
Our dad plays the drums. Yeah. So yes.
Oh my God. I played Garth for like a camp play. I'll have to send you a photo.
Love that.
Yeah.
I like to play.
Thanks. I like to play.
I love weird, obscure Wayne's World quotes.
The best.
Hello, I'm in Delaware.
Can I tell you, when I lived on the East Coast, I was took a bus from
where did
New
you
York,
live?
New York City. I lived in New York City for I went to FIT for school for 2 years. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was an experience for sure. But my mom was had a work thing in DC, and so I took a Greyhound from New York to DC, and we stopped at a Delaware rest stop, which was the like one of the fanciest rest stops. The East Coast has like
they have such
the best rest stops, but the Delaware one, I was like, my friend was with me, and I was like, Brooke, take a picture of me or take a video, and I stood in front of the Delaware sign, and I was like, hi, I'm in Delaware. It was just like the most necessary thing I had to do on the drive. So
that is like,
it was awesome.
Can you send me a picture or video, please?
I'll try to find it.
Or like, I got a gun. Let's go to a Broadway show.
You know, so funny. You want to lay me past the pork. Mahalo.
I was thinking about showing them Wayne's World, and I was like, I don't know if it's a smart thing, but it's so funny. You were talking about rust stops and on the East Coast. Yesterday I was driving my son to a soccer game, and it was like an hour away, of course, because you know it's really important that all my time goes to soccer. I don't have any time to do it. But there was a rest stop, and it was because we're in New Jersey, it was the John Bon Jovi rest stop.
Nice.
I was like, he's still alive. Like, I don't. And then it's like the Grover Cleveland. I was like, this is, how did they pick that? Anyway.
Oh my gosh. I love so that.
I love you guys so much. I feel like we just need to keep making these appointments just so we can see each other and talk to each other.
I know. It's so fun.
I know. So fun talking to you. I love it.
Fun. I, and yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Galactic family for sure.
Whoop, whoop. I know, right?
Yeah. Through the
ether.
The
lens, the camera.
Yeah.
The Zoom.
Well, tell us, I just want to make sure that we are covering everything, but is there anything that you guys are working on that you want to kind of mention or anything coming up?
Ashleen and I are involved in a dispensary training program company. We've created a business that makes dispensary training programs for bud tenders. Cool. So if you are in a state that is legal or will be legal or has medical or whatever, and you have a dispensary and you need some training, follow Take Root Dispensary Training on Instagram. Take Root, no, it's at Take Root Dispo Training on Instagram or .com.
Read it right below.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, it's been super fun developing these training programs. You know, I worked in the industry. We both smoked weed for years. I mean, we've talked about weed before on the show. And yeah, we just identified this whole gap in the industry that nobody's talking about training. And when they are talking about training, it's all boring compliance stuff. But ours is very specifically about how you use your knowledge to help your customer find what they're looking for.
Yeah. Your customer service and education leaning. So
yeah. So our waiting list is open. Mm-hmm. If anybody out there owns a dispensary and wants some training to support their bud tenders. Yeah. Hit us up.
Awesome. Oh my God. This is great. So all the information is going to be down in the show notes and also on the video as you are watching it.
Yay.
And yay. And so anyone in New Jersey, we just went legal.
Just
we all just on 420 or 421 maybe. No. Yeah, 421, I think it was.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, right?
let the legacy market have one more day. Give them one more 420.
But we are getting, they have approved a cafe here. So there's a place called, I think it's called Medusa Lounge or something like that. Yeah.
Ooh. Okay, yeah. We'll be hitting up New Jersey pretty soon.
I know.
Totally.
Yes, please. Well, I will host you. Okay.
Yes.
For sure.
Yay.
All right,
thank you.
Love
you.
Bye.
Bye.
Visit our website, chronicgals.com, for show notes of current and past episodes.
Follow us on Instagram at chronicgals_podcast to check out what crazy things we're up to.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel to watch the video versions of these episodes. And make sure you hit the like button and the notification button to get notified when we post a new video.
Rate, review, and share our hilarious podcast.
Hilarious.
Because the best recommendation is from people you trust.
See ya.
Bye.